Now entering Nerdist.com.
A very funny
not this
guy,
part.
Todd Glass.
Yeah, hey Todd, it's Nick Swartzen calling again about doing your podcast.
Hello, is Dimitri Martin on the show today?
Entertainer's entertainer, Todd Glass, everyone.
Todd, hey, it's Zach, El Zacca. Listen, man, I really want to come on the podcast. I've got stuff to promote.
Comedy Central presents Todd Glass.
Oh my God, he was on Comedy Central?
Todd Glass. Brian Regan.
My favorite thing.
Again.
Oh my God, is that Brian Regan? Sorry.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up. We can't even hear him talk because you talk over him. Now I'm talking over him.
Do you want me to beg?
Oh my God, Brian Regan. Get the fuck out of here. He calls into the show.
He's
fucking sick.
Comedian friends pitch an idea. No matter how absurd, you can immediately green light.
My glass is on the radio.
From the beautiful Las Vegas Strip, high atop Black Horse Motors, it's the Todd Glass Show.
I have to start doing that so from when it cuts, it's a nice fade in. But let me tell you something. Dimitri Martin is here.
Hey, Todd.
Hi. And then Mike Komen, who was in the first show, too. We had two parts. Mike was in the first show, and now he's also in this show, too. No one cares.
Yeah, thanks for letting me stay here.
You know what? It's fun. So I like jingles. I'm obsessed with jingles. So I made a little intro for the both of you guys. Now, I'll be honest. This guy... I think he's starting to get a little lazy, and I love him, the guy that does the jingles. But the intent is there. Sometimes he's saying things. You're like, it doesn't even fucking make sense. But you know what? I still love him. So go ahead. Crank it up a little.
Well, Mike Komen and Dimitri Martin.
I like it up to now.
They're on the Todd Glass Show.
It's fun.
Yeah, Mike Komen and Dimitri Martin. They're gonna be funny tonight on the Todd Glass Show.
I don't know why I don't like when he says that.
Well, I don't know why their names rhyme.
They
yeah,
don't.
Komen and Martin too.
Doesn't even make sense.
They both end with an end in their name. That's kind of weird now. But that's okay because they're on the Todd Glass Show.
All right,
tonight.
I like it. We could wrap it up right here.
Oh, Toddy, Toddy Glass. Be careful, Mike Komen may have a knife. And Dimitri
what?
Martin
silly.
Might be wanting to shake you down. Right. Oh, Toddy Glass.
I like that part.
Please be packing tonight.
All right, fade this
because
out.
Because Mike Komen and Dimitri Martin might want to fight.
Can you fade that out?
We'd want to fight each other or
I
fight you?
I think he just, because things rhyme, he doesn't really worry about what he's saying.
We just generally want to fight.
Yeah.
Anything, whatever comes up.
But would you guys, either of you and I, would give five? I wish I had this type of money. Here's what I would do. Dimitri, if you make that your ringtone, I'll give $10,000 to a charity of your choice. But you have to let that be your ringtone for the week. And it's got to be loud.
What's the time limit on a ringtone? Would it start looping before we get to the good stuff?
I would isolate the 30 seconds. It's Dimitri
Martin. So you get to
Martin.
Pick your...
Like it looked like, oh my God, that's Dimitri Martin. His ringtone is just singing his name.
What a terrible person.
But I'd give $10,000 to an organization of your choice. Would you go, fuck it, I'll do it? Or would you go, Jesus, I want to help it? Maybe you'd say, I'll give the $10,000 myself, but I'm not fucking doing that.
Is the organization of my choice part of it that's the least enticing? I don't have like a list. I don't have like a top. I'm like, oh yeah, that's finally.
Well, who would it
you
be
have to find something to care about?
I care about things.
I don't believe it.
It doesn't transfer into organizations, you know.
What would you give your money like charity? Would you have a charity? I'm starting to think before I give Dimitri a hard time, maybe I might not. Well, I would give it to animals
I guess
or
like
kids.
Black people, maybe?
Oh my God, that is so nice.
I'm kidding,
you can't
everybody.
Say that.
That's really horrible.
You know what my favorite thing is?
I heard you were a sweet guy. That's really adorable.
What if that was me, seriously? That would be bad. I'm doing comedy, guys. Come on.
My favorite thing is if somebody, like, to be overly sensitive, like if somebody goes, sometimes it's important to reference someone as black. It's not always a bad thing. Now, obviously, if you're referencing Martin Luther King, no, you don't have to go the black guy. But right. If somebody at your office, that's an easy way to it's okay to do that. And I get people are hypersensitive, and that's better than being an asshole
you're
and not caring
you're talking
at all.
About somebody who's not there. And as part of the description,
you're
saying,
the guy,
but I think Dimitri means people who weren't black to begin with.
No, I'm going somewhere else.
It's a totally different condition.
but I'm going somewhere else. When they do it, it's my favorite thing because you make them nervous. And they didn't do anything wrong. They'd be like, oh, the guy down the hall, remember the new guy just started working here a month ago, the black guy. And you go, oh my God, you can't fucking say that. They're like, what did I do? A fucking black guy. You know, that's, oh my God, it's 2011. Anyway, that's my funny story. And we're going to take a break. All right, we're not taking a break.
That'd be great.
Take a break. I love to take breaks.
And then
break.
Play that.
We'll take a break. Again. We'll be right back. What do we have? If
you
like
pina colada, you don't have commercials.
It is funny to take a break. Can you get some other break music ready?
Well, I feel pretty rested. That was a good little break.
Do you have a one-liner you can do and be a radio guy and say, it is funny if you say, we'll take a break and the music comes right on. So just say, if you were a morning guy and you had to say something, you have 6 seconds and then you throw to it and then you say, we'll be right back. You got something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you mean you got something from
yeah,
me?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to throw to him. We'll be right back. And then he plays the song. You know how it always comes. We do this a lot on the
show.
And
shows. They do like a one-liner joke? Like a
yeah, my, you know, I'll do like, what if I did a Mitch Hedberg joke? I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to too. We'll be right back right after this. We'll take a break. My pants wanna get up and dance. Well, not this song. You don't want that song? No, because that's Engelbert Humperdinck. It needs to be a song they would hear on the radio. Like the Frank Sinatra thing will even work. That's a good one. Maybe I put
Are we still
this.
In the break?
No, we never okay. took a break. Well, we played Pina Colada for 5 seconds.
I just want to start fresh.
The show is not going good, Mike. Dimitri's going to tell people.
No, it's fine. He'll come right.
Hey, guys, I was on the Todd Glass podcast thing. Really early break. I couldn't believe how early they did the break. I got to get out of here.
Dimitri doesn't know.
We'll be right back with the early breaks podcast. Talking to Dimitri Martin about the Todd Glass show.
Dimitri doesn't know that I hear his inner voice right now.
Yeah, I got an inner voice, outer voice, and one right on the line.
What's that, the echo? Hello?
Wait, are we all in Dimitri's thoughts right now?
Yes, we've met in his head.
It's right, cavernous in here. You can see there's not much in here.
Oh, my God. I thought his head would look so different because of his act. And then, like, I thought it would be, like, cool little spaces and cubby holes.
It's just a hole.
And then it's just like, where does he... Because you know what I mean? When you watch his act, you think his head's going to be like, oh, there's a weird corridor down there. That's a dark hallway something. Yeah. Now it's like just shit in here.
Yeah, Coleman knows that already.
Those math symbols.
Oh, my God. His hair. Did you notice it's thick in his head, too?
Hey, guys. There's cobwebs like in cartoons when you go inside a person's head.
All right. Fade out of that. Guess what? The Christmas carolers have been coming by all day. And I just love it. They're here again. They do a Christmas song. You know, this gives us a chance to rethink and appreciate. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or you're, you know, Christmas songs are fun for everybody, right? Did you celebrate Christmas growing up? Or
I did. I'm Greek American.
And you celebrated? I didn't know. I hate to even ask that. What's your background? I remember a neighborhood I lived in where when they were asking that, they really wanted to know, what is your background? I'd be like, I used to lie and say I was half Jewish just because I didn't want to... be judged. That's a true story.
In some way, because you don't have anything interesting?
No, I didn't want to say I was Jewish because I felt like people would stereotype me. So I just didn't want to say
half.
I was Jewish.
50%.
So I was half Jewish. And then somebody said I shouldn't do that, that I'm a self-hating Jew. So I thought, you know what, you're right. Like, what am I embarrassed 60. About? 60. I changed it a little bit. The next day after someone thinks that that sunk into me, you know, I talked to Todd and I think he knew what I meant. You can tell. Next day they overhear, oh, no. I'm 60% Jew. He's only admitting to 10 more percent. I don't know if he got one.
Not cool.
Yeah. So I used to, this is the truth, how I finally got out of it. I would say, people go, what are you? I would be like, you know, when they ask your background, I go, I'm half Jewish. And then that was the defining moment when I went, you're lying again. The only way to fix it was when they went, what's your other half? And I would go, it's Jewish. I'm just letting it out gently. And I think I've told that story on this podcast. That should be the name of this podcast. I think I told that story. Isn't that cute the way they all come around? These look like full-grown adults here. And they knocked on all the knock. They've been coming in all night long, these karaoke, Christmas carolers. And these guys are huge fans of yours, Dimitri. And they said they would love nothing more than to come put you in the good Christmas spirit. So now you guys bring a boom box with you?
Oh, yeah.
We stream it. That's amazing. So go ahead, guys. I like to hear it. Maybe you'll do some of the song, all the song. Okay, go ahead. Put some reverb in your boombox.
This is great, by the way.
And don't tell your mother I said that.
This is great timing.
It's
almost Christmas.
It is. We're coming up. I thought you meant how long it took to get it ready.
First day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Guys, no offense. I can't stand the song. Seriously. I can't let you guys sing it in here. If you have another song you'd like to do, but that song, I love Christmas songs. I really do. They put me in a great, but that one, am I wrong? Am I the only one? I know it's weird to criticize that song, but I don't like it.
It's really repetitive and it's like an assignment. You know
Thank
what I mean?
You.
Yeah.
I love Dimitri Martin and I'm not kidding. Like, because you start thinking you're crazy. I think, what am I? God, I'm not even joking. I'm thinking like, I like Christmas. I'm not a, you know, I hate Christmas songs. I love, but that's, he hit it on the head. That's, it is. It's like, and the 12, da, da, da. And I remember once having to learn that song in elementary school. Oh, shut the fuck up. I could barely learn math. I can't learn this fucking song.
It's crazy.
I seem like I'm overly
No,
excited.
I think you're, I'm with you.
The fact that Mike doesn't care is the reason that I'm thinking about not having him co-host ever again.
Well, no, I like that song a lot.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. We're the people that totally back out of it. Oh, no, I love that song.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, as a song, I like it. I thought we were talking about like a kind of a...
I thought you meant...
Oh,
like,
okay, I thought you were saying you didn't like that. Okay.
Oh, no.
I thought you were talking about like as a pitch or like a vehicle or something for Christmas.
No, oh my God, as a pitch or vehicle? No.
Oh, no, I love that song. Michael, that song's...
No, I just mean I like it as a song.
On the first day of Christmas, my true. That's like that's America.
Yeah, I was just
that's
saying,
like,
as like
that's America. That song.
I was saying, like, as a script, I just think the scenes would get repetitive.
What's going on over there?
We have a new song.
You don't need headphones.
They do.
Oh, they do. Okay, these guys are good. I don't like to break the bit that often. I wanted to really make pretend they were coming by in their carolers, so we're going to go back into the bit.
It's nice of the jinglers to wait for for us to finish our.
It was very nice of you guys. How old are you guys? Do you mind if I ask? And we're gonna go right back into the bit. That's what we do on the show. I don't try to go, oh, the bit derailed and get nervous. I was hanging out at my house doing this bit. We just jump back into it, just like right now. Oh my God, look at these guys. They're carolers. How old are you guys? Do you mind
14.
If I ask? How old?
14.
How old are you?
12.
You sound like you like men.
No.
How old are you?
36.
Okay, and you? Just sing a song. Seven. It's very nice of you to stop by. All right, seven. Come on. What are we, silly?
They told me, pum 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 pum.
I like it.
A newborn king to see, pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa rum pum pum pum, to set before the king, pa rum pum pum pum, rum pum pum pum, rum pum pum pum.
That's nice, guys.
Great.
That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. Dimitri, that was for you. I know that
That's
seems awkward.
That's my favorite use of onomatopoeia in a Christmas carol.
Onomatopoeia.
Caroling would be better if it was like Name That Carol, where they come to your house and then they start singing. And as soon as you can name the title of the carol, they have to stop.
Oh.
And then do another one. And then they can just get progressively harder to name.
It'd be kind of cool if Christmas carolers came up if you were like, I'll give you guys money, but I just want that guy to sing only. Everybody else quiet. I want a solo.
That would be so like creepy. I'll give you guys $50, but I want you all just that guy right over there to sing. You're like, he'd be a little weirded out. Like, all right.
I want you all to stand, turn, and stare at him.
Face him. No. Everybody come up in here and you.
That would be a funny thing for Family Guy if the old guy did that. You know, the pervert? Like, if all the carolers came up, he went, all right, I'll give you $100, but you all leave and you come in and sing in the house.
That's a good bit.
Funny? I don't really try to do his voice. I don't want the voice actor that does that voice to get nervous. Because, you know, Family Guy listens to the show. They go, that Tom Glass does a pretty good job.
It's hearing footsteps.
Yeah. I can, oh, look at me. I want to suck your cock. Isn't that what he does?
Yes, yeah, he
you
does.
You boys come in here, you can have a fun time playing, who can take more volume than anybody else. By the way, I'm kidding. I know the other guy does it better. I don't want anyone to think, does Todd really? That's how paranoid
I am.
Do you
remember the guy who hit on me in Griffith Park?
Yeah, didn't we talk
when
about
you,
that?
We were roommates. Did I talk? I don't know I if I told the story.
I can't believe that Mike was, you know, but I knew he was genuinely that, what do you call it?
Naive.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was the right word. We lived together, and Mike was, at the time, how old? It's not like
20.
By the way, yeah.
In all I was fairness, in college.
It's not like you were, if you were 17, I could even go, all right. But there, you were old enough to see this guy was a weirdo. And by the way, that's not what they call it technically. Yeah, some weirdo molested my, you know, weirdo.
When I was in Griffith Park, I was like reading a book or something in the summer, and an old man came by, and he waved to me, and I waved back, and he was like, oh, thank God, finally a friendly person. And then he sits
nothing
down
nothing wrong
next
up to this point, yeah, by the way. And in case there's anybody out there that goes, I say that, am I a pervert? No, the story goes on.
He sits down next to me, and then he says, you wouldn't believe what happened to me yesterday. I met a young man. I think he was in the Navy, and he had no place
to stay. Can I stop you for 1 second? Maybe I'm overly saying this, but Mike is not kidding. So I don't think you'll appreciate this. If for 1 second you go, oh, is this a bit to George Carlin? Like, this is him coming home telling me the story, and I'm going, Mike, like, I can't believe that he didn't like – okay, so go ahead.
So he says this guy – he let this guy stay at his place, and then in the middle of the night, this guy crawled into bed naked with him. And said, you can do anything you want with me below the neck.
Oh my
and then
God.
This guy is telling me the story. He's like, can you believe that? And then he just stared into my eyes to get my reaction to see if I'd be like, hey, it doesn't sound so bad to me.
Right. Like,
and then
that's what, no,
but I didn't know
he
that.
Say he was in the military? He tried to help a guy out because he was in the military?
Yeah, he was in the military. He had no place to stay.
There's always a leap. There's always some crazy leap in the story, right?
Like, but it's also like, looking back, like he had to make himself look like such a great guy. Yeah.
So he was looking – for a long time we would do the impersonation of him. After he said that, can you believe he did that? Then trying to get a look in your eyes to see if you're appalled or
– right. Or if like, oh, well
– was your answer which branch of the military was he in? Just a detail guy.
But I was so stupid that I listened to his story and I was like, man, that's terrible. Like you were just trying to give a guy a place stay and he that's how he – like it's insulting. And then I went home and I told Todd, I was like, I met this nice old guy.
Now, let me explain something. If the fact that if you – Mike, this does not – and I don't know. If anybody can tell you this, I can tell you this. Does not represent Mike's intelligence because a lot of people would hear the story and go, come on. That's not being aware at all. Mike's a smart guy, but he had a moment. I looked at him and I go, Mike.
I never met anybody like that.
What do you mean
before?
A nice guy? This guy's a molester. This guy's hey, can you believe it? I let him sleep in my bed. He tries to fucking go down my pants with his hand. Do you think that was wrong? And he eyes him up. You know.
So. Did I tell you this story? Very similar.
Anyway, that's how we met.
This is, we were out here for Conan.
Right.
1 year for the Emmys. So the 1 year that I worked there.
Right.
So they fly us out here and we get to go stay in our hotels or whatever. And so I went to Griffith Park one day. And I was like learning how to play guitar or whatever. And I had this little guitar. So I didn't know Griffith Park was, I guess, cruising or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Okay. So I was there in the grass, maybe not far from where your story took place. And I had this thing. I remember I had a yogurt and a banana. Mm. I had a little snack. And
were you hitting on him?
No. I was just
kidding. You have a banana. I'm like okay, the guy reading into it. So why would you bring a banana?
So I'm just there and I'm like, oh, I'm in California. You know, we were in New York at the time. Like, oh, it's nice out. I'll go to the park, Griffith Park. That's the park. There we go. So I go to Griffith Park, and I'm sitting on the grass, and I'm playing my little, practicing my guitar, and I'm eating this banana, have some yogurt, and I see this dude who happened to be black, just kind of a callback to our other story, but he didn't happen to be black. He was born, he had black parents. And he was black. I mean, it was by design, you know.
It could have been seen.
So I'm sitting up there playing guitar, and I see this dude roll by who's like kind of middle-aged guy in a beat-up, like, in those movies in the 70s where there's like a kind of a villain, but he's like a henchman. Somebody's like kind of second guy. Some guy beats people up or something. He had one of those just beat-up kind of cars. And I see him driving by, and I swear to God, I see the guy look at me and kind of suddenly put the brakes on quickly and swerve and then kind of come up the little pit road there. And I'm just playing guitar and watch, park the car. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I'm just continuing to play. And then I'm watching the guy because I just thought it was so weird to see a car. What's that street right at the bottom of Griffith? Is that
Los Feliz?
Los Feliz?
Yeah, that.
So oh, you're like not supposed to park on that street.
No. But that's what he turned off of. That's right. When he was like, I just was, it's like, you know, you're watching
Mike works
traffic.
For parking enforcement.
Oh, no, I thought he was like so, he was so excited to see you that he just like stopped his car.
No. It's weird. I just saw him suddenly like kind of erratically stop short, turn and park the car. So I didn't know if it had anything to do with me. It was more that I saw somebody driving kind of weird. So he pulled up and then I watched him get out of the car and then I watched him walk across the grass and he was like kind of bad acting in life where he was like looking like, oh, I'm just walking, got out of my car, I'm just kind of walking. And then all of a sudden he looked at me, he was like, oh, hey. And he just changed his angle and walked right up to me. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird. And he said, hey, you play guitar? Yeah, I play guitar. He's like, I just got this electric guitar and I don't know how to play it or anything. And yeah, it was so weird.
Now, do you have any idea at this point? Are you aware? Okay, this guy is, or are you aware of the situation? What's going on?
Not yet. No, not yet. But really? I do become because I'm thinking. Again, to me, it's like hanging
like
out on Central.
He was going to ask you for like jumper cables, but then you brought up the guitar thing. So yeah, like, I need you.
He was kind of reaching, but it's kind of like again, if you're not from here, you don't know the lay of the land. I guess it'd be like hanging out in Sheep Meadow in Central Park or something. Yeah.
And let me ask you this.
Oh, some guy's coming up. What do you want? You know.
Plus, you're on to him because you watched his. He obviously went out of his way.
If you didn't see
him pass by, you maybe come back and you might have thought, nah, it could just be a guy seasonally playing.
That's what was kind of weird. But, so then he's like, I've said, no. I said, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just playing this thing here. It kind of like, I'm all right. Thanks. But that's when it got weird. He kind of persisted and he said, are you sure? Like, I live right over there and you could just come and show me how to use the guitar. And I'm thinking, no, I think I'm good. And he's like, okay, you sure? I'm thinking, what? I'm like, I'm good. I'm going to just play my guitar here. The thing was, I had my little snacks all out.
Would you have gone?
I think I would have at least. It would have been easier to just kind of stand up and be like, oh, geez, I got to, you know, I'm going to go.
Right.
So he's like, okay. So he leaves and I watch him get in his car. And he gets to his car, and then he turns around, like something changed his mind, and he started walking right back towards me, like a little bit faster now. And I'm thinking, now it's like fight or flight. Gay, not gay, I don't care. It's just like I sent the signal, like, hey, man, could you leave me alone?
Yeah.
And so he starts coming back at me, and now I was like, okay, pick up your trash, like, go. And I just, like, picked up my stuff, and I got my guitar. And the guy was, like, trying to catch up with me, and I was like walking down towards my car, and then he was like, it's really like I live right by here, and he was like making his case again and like followed me to my car, and in my car, and he was still talking to me like as I closed the car door, and I was like, that was crazy. Whoa. That was crazy.
Maybe,
that
would get maybe
that might have just been a killer. I don't know if that was a gay guy. It might have just been a guy who wanted to kill me or something.
Maybe in the community of like gay swinging, like the snacks are like symbols of the things that you want to do. So if you have like a yogurt out, it's like, totally. Oh, that's I'm into that.
Signal.
Those things make your heart like just hearing that because you don't really ever – that's the closest you'll ever get to know to be violated. Like, you know, you hear stories, but that touch of violation is like – it's like it gets your heart. You know, I remember, you know, and by the way, I should point out I was like, you know, I was a really good looking kid. So imagine that when I'm telling this story. But there was some guy asked me if I ever wanted to do any modeling. I should have known. I was so vain. I was like, if any other kid, I was 13. At that age, I should have known, Todd, come on. You're not a model. God. Let's not bullshit ourselves. But, you know, my vanity.
Where are you from?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're a model in Philly. Come on.
And it's such a hub of modeling.
Your perception of Philly. Oh, you'd totally be a model in Philly. Believe me, I did a few shows there. You'd be like a supermodel, especially when I was younger. So anyway, I worked at Dairy Queen, and he came in the Dairy Queen. And then I said, I went. So, Mike, when you told me your story, God. This is why I'm telling you.
Yeah.
This story is what makes me go, okay, Mike – really didn't. Like, there's a part of me that went, come on, Mike. Like, I'm all for – but then I could say the same thing about this. And even while I'm telling this right now, I want to think – you know, you hope the listener doesn't – you're thinking, will the listener think, come on. Like, you know why? Because now I'm a full-grown adult telling you this story. Then I was, you know, very young. I don't know. I could have been 13, 14 in that area. So I went over the house and he asked me, and I told him some stuff, and he goes, and he kept saying on the phone, "Did you have a nice bird?" Because it was Thanksgiving. Really made me a little nervous that he kept saying the word bird, you know? So anyway, he was upstairs. His office happened to be in the bedroom. And then he said, "I got this guy on the cover of this magazine." He goes, "He's making $1,000 for this, you know?" So, you know, I just thought maybe, you know, and he's talking. He goes, "Look at this." And he goes, "Ooh, that my wife better not see that." And it was a naked picture of a woman, like on a girly, on a penthouse or something. He was very casual, and he always get back to normal business right away. And then he goes, "Hey, why don't you take off your shirt?" Hey, because I want to see if, you know, what type of model you could be. I swear to God,
I can't believe this.
To George Carlin. And earlier, he asked me if I had an article that was written about me, because there was just then they were doing articles on New Comedian. So I was like brand 2 years into it, but they did an article. I said, "Oh, I don't have it with me." You know, I was trying to like, hey, I went from really trying to pump up my resume to getting scared shitless. I'm like, yeah, they did an article on me. So you totally want to use me as a model. And because I'm like already in the business. And and then when he said that, I got really nervous. I really started to panic. My heart started to beat. I knew at that point, all right, this is just it all as an adult. Yes, I get why now I should. Sure. But then, and I went, you know what? I do have that article. I'll go get it out of the car. I think I was actually better at acting than I just did just then. I was pretty good. I knew I couldn't act panicked. I just went, you know what? I actually do have that article. It's my old, you know, and he goes, "Oh, go ahead." I got in the car and I took off, and my heart was pounding. And then he came into the fucking Dairy Queen the next day. He walked towards me, and I'm like, my heart starts getting, you know, I'm like, "Dale, that's the fucking guy." The other kid that I worked with, I go, "Dale, that's a fucking guy." So, he goes, "Hey, I don't know what you think happened or whatever happened, but I'm all good."
Wow.
Oof. Like, don't think I'm nerd. And I was like, I don't even think I told my parents that because
you just want to be done with it. Yeah. Wow.
So it's like, and that's not that, you know, but anyway,
that's the best thing is when people. When you think about what they could say, if there was nothing wrong, if they were completely innocent of whatever you think, like I don't know what you think happened, but I'm good. If there was nothing whatsoever, he'd be like, "Hey, are you okay? What happened?" Like, you know, if there was actually no malice.
That's
no
a really course. Good point. He would just be think genuinely... about
what
you.
Yeah, he'd be like, "Hey, look, I'm so sorry. Did you freak out? Like, you know, what happened? Did you have to go?" Like, instead, it's like, "Hey, I don't know what you think happened." It's like, guilty. This is why I'm not in the law.
But it's also like the things you think you would say in those situations. I mean, there was around that same time when we were in LA. I was so shy that I was at a stoplight at Santa Monica and Bronson, and a guy who happened to be black comes up to my car and like puts his head in my window and goes, "Hey man, want to come around the corner for a second?" And he was like, you know, like,
"Well, that sounds like a nice guy."
Yeah. And but he was like a prostitute.
Oh.
And, like on my own, my reaction was like, "I can't, I'm late for something." But like I was so like
you want to be rude,
scared. Like it was a genuine fear of like I didn't want this guy to be disappointed in me.
Mike, I have the same type of story, and like it's funny when you start telling these stories. Then like you go, okay, well the same type of thing at a corner in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And you like when you first move out here, like you said, you don't know, like you know, you start learning the city. Oh, that's a corner that would happen at.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Same thing when day laborers. When I look at everybody driving down the street, so I understand why people with day laborers would think I wanted to use them. I didn't know. So I would like see people in the corner. I'm staring at them. What are they all lined up there for? And then they approach your car, day laborers, because they think you want to work and they think you want the work. Right. You know, they really need the work.
Yeah.
I get it. Some of these people haven't, you know, they need the money and they're very aggressive, but I get it. But I didn't know. And they all started gathering around the car. I got scared shitless. Imagine just seeing 15 people like packing around your car.
Yeah.
I didn't know what happened. They dissipated, and then I remember asking somebody. They go, "Oh, that's where you get day laborers." They just thought you wanted work. So anyway, so back to this other story. He pulls up. I'm in a corner, and somebody goes, "Hey, you want a free blowjob?" Mike, I go, no. I stuttered. I went, no, thank you. And I thought, why did I say no thank you later? Don't overanalyze it. And I thought I wasn't overanalyzing it. I almost felt bad for him because – who knows? You want to write this. This guy could have been a guy who went, you know what? I'm just going to go out there one day. Fuck it. And I'm just going to ask somebody, who's going to say no? I mean, I don't want to give blowjobs.
But I'm just going to ask people if they want one for free. So he goes out there with all the confidence in the world, and he goes, fucking, who's going to say no to me? I'll give it free. I don't give a shit. And you want a free blowjob? And I go, no. He could go back in the house. Even though he's crazy and a little bit, that you have a problem. He could go, fuck! God damn it! His friends are like, what's wrong? No, just fucking, I feel like a loser. I went out there in that corner where everybody charges. I asked some guy, like, can I give you a blowjob? For free. For fucking free. And he says no. Really? I'm not a human being? Not even no thank you? Say no thank you. That's him complaining to his friends.
Yeah, I know, but like but you know the way you feel when someone has roses or something? Like, I always feel like I have to be polite to them. I don't know what the impulse is, but I think it's the same thing. It's like, oh, I don't want to let this guy feel bad about his, blowjobs.
Yeah, like, you know, that's not appropriate behavior, but
I think it's out of fear. I think you're scared of them. Or you don't want them to not like you.
Yeah, yeah, they get mad.
Yeah, I think disappointing people is, it's a problem for me. I fear disappointing people.
Like, give me an example.
Family, friends, strangers.
Well, yeah, I think a party.
I think we're all.
I know you mean in a situation. I can't.
No, I know.
But I could imagine, like, in that second where I thought, like, whatever came out of my mouth was my real personality, was such a need for people to like me that I even thought that guy would go home at the end of the day after he'd been, like, bullying guys all day long. Be like, yeah, well, that one guy was okay.
You know what? Here's what I often think when I feel. When I don't feel good, when I feel mad, I don't know, whatever the emotions that I don't like are, there's a bunch of them. I know there's more than mad. But sometimes I think, okay, so what's my problem here? And usually I can boil it down to being like it's a fear of some kind, seems to be at the root of it.
Oh, it might surface as something else, but if you go to the root of it.
Usually,
right.
Like, and then I can get it down to just like three. I think it's just three or four things actually at the bottom of all the shitty stuff I usually end up feeling. So for example, like when I lived in New York, I remember being in cabs and I just get so mad. I'd be like, why am I so mad in this cab? I'd be like, it's because I'm late and I can't do anything about it. So who cares? Like, why am I so mad? I'd be like, because someone's waiting for me. I'm going to disappoint them. They're going to be mad at me. So then they're not going to like me. Oh, shit. Okay. So I'm afraid of not being liked, not being loved, whatever it is.
Right.
But it's like every single thing, I feel like it's like, only like three or four steps down to one of those. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I totally know what you mean. I bet that you'd be right in a lot of situations. Like, if you just took it back, where's that coming from?
Like, just I'm saying your story. You say no thank you to the guy.
Oh, I don't want to. Yeah. You take, okay, why did I say that?
Because, like, if I'm not nice to him, then am I a bad person? And if I'm a bad person, then I'll be alone. Nobody want to be with me or whatever. You know, I mean, whatever. I'm reaching here.
No, I know what you mean. Him, even this guy that, whatever you want to call someone that does that, that stands on the side of the road. Obviously, they have some, issues that they have to work out.
It's a good Samaritan, let's say.
The guy's a good Samaritan? Yeah. No, you could look at it that way, too. And then I think, well, the guy's not hurting anybody. He's certainly not making any money. Unless people are giving him tips. Maybe that's his trick, like free shoe shine. Cut you got to give the guy. After he blows you, he goes, can I get some gas money? You're like, what?
Or cut to his book.
Cut to his what?
His book.
He sells a book afterwards?
365 blowjobs, my journey. It's just like a year of magical blowing. By John Didion.
Anyway, I hope he's listening.
He's sitting next to Oprah. So tell us about day 28. Oh, this guy said no thank you. It's the only person who didn't accept a blowjob the whole year.
I always have with giving the people the eye contact. And I heard something on Oprah once about a woman that had hit rock bottom and she was begging. And she really told it in a way that she goes, look, I understand. I'm not judging the people. I'm just saying it's a day when it made me feel horrible. I get it. They had their lives. They were talking at a restaurant. I needed money and they, it's not, I had the problem. I got somewhere bad, but I still learned from this. And she goes, when they just handed me the money without looking at me, like they, anyway, blah, blah, blah. And they reach into their purse and just put the hand out, let her take it. Like, it's like a dog and you're giving it a treat.
That was the worst.
She goes, that was a hit rock bottom because I wasn't a human being even. If somebody said no to me, they at least looked at me like no and they were mad. Or, get out, get a job. At least they're still talking to me.
Wow. Right.
At least and so ever since then, if I give somebody – if I do give some money, I go out of my way because sometimes you just – it's awkward for you too.
I just go out of my way to look them into their eye. And you know what? Sometimes they want to shake your hand. And let me tell you, I'm far from a germaphobe. But there could be some germs that, you know, you don't know if they have a cut in their hand. But you know what? And someone could go, Todd, you're stupid for doing this. But I think fucking, what are the odds? I shake their hand. They want to shake your hand. Give me, you know. Otherwise, can you imagine just.
Oh, the worst?
Because now I think of that person, like the woman on Oprah. If you go, hey, dude, and you pat or you just move away. Like I gave you a dollar. I can't do that. So, yeah. You know, go fucking wash your hands and I'll be fine. Yeah, that's cool.
The worst is to give them the money and then do like you're going to shake their hand and then like fix your hair with your hand. Like, sorry. Well, wait, slow, homely. Homelessy.
Wait, you know what? Dimitri, that could actually work because you look like you're being silly at least. Ah, too slow. Ah, have a good day.
Kind of engaging. It was kind of playful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a nice policy. Do you have a, I don't know, Coleman, for you, like, I'm sure people have done bits about this, but I feel bad because sometimes I feel like everybody has a threshold. It's almost like giving homeless people money is like some weird form of tipping where you're like, okay, like, you're messed up enough. Like, I'll give you some money. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a line.
Well,
I give money to women more than men just because I feel like it's worse. And then there was a woman outside of my apartment in New York, and it was the first person I ever gave like more than just a dollar to. And then the next day I went outside. And she didn't recognize me.
And you got your feelings.
And I was like so mad.
I don't have any overall policy of, you know, and I don't know, maybe you guys don't either. I'm not somebody that has just sometimes I get it how that can't really fix their problem. I do get that. And I get why some people recommend you don't give money to them. That makes sense. I'm not going to blow it off because I don't adhere to it. I get why people go try to give to a cause that really can help the bigger problem. But sometimes you just feel it in your heart, whatever the reason is. And you know what? Maybe somebody's working on the big problem, but right now, maybe $5 can get this guy a, you know, you're just in the mood. Sometimes I don't do it, but I do whatever the feeling.
If the person's better looking than me, it's a competitive thing. I'm not going to give them money because they're already like kind of, you know, Santa Monica is like a lot of really good looking.
Yeah, you think, come on, you could be a model. What are you fucking, I got to give you money?
You could be a model in Philadelphia. I'm not going to give you money. I mean, go get some photos.
Now, what would you do if you're playing Philly and for some reason, you never know like what spreads around the internet. Now, I'm not being so self-fulfilled. Well, and they go, Dimitri Martin, but you don't think about it. It's a year later, you're in Philly and you walk out on the stage and people
are I'm from Jersey Shore.
Oh, so you're fine.
Come on, man.
You're basically
from
Philly.
Worst place. Philly's great compared to where I'm from. Are you kidding me? People look amazing in Philly.
Where from Jersey are you from?
Toms River, New Jersey.
I know where that's at.
It's next to Jersey Shore.
Yeah, but that's actually that's like cool. I thought that was driving through. It was like homes on like properties, like a lot of acreage all over. Is that right?
Couple neighborhoods. It's pretty terrible. Hey, Toms River, how you guys doing?
Somebody right now in Toms River is listening. Oh my God.
I like growing up there, but I didn't like staying there.
Do you know the house you grew up in? Did you ever go back and look at it?
On Google Map, like, yeah.
That's crazy to do
I'm kidding. I don't do that. I guess it'd be easy to find it, right?
Yeah, I think
everything's on there.
You never drove back when you're home? Do your parents still live there?
Yeah, when I'm home, I've driven by there. I don't know who lives there now. My parents sold that house a long time ago.
How many homes did you live in your whole history since you moved out and, like, you know, lived on your own? Did you move a lot? Or
counting tree houses?
Did you have a tree house?
I had a treehouse. Yeah, I didn't live in there, but I spent time in there.
We had a treehouse that was – all I remember is – now, remember, this is the perception of a nine-year-old. Now I went back and saw – the tree's still there, and I know it's the same tree.
Oh, thought it was this big high
tree? It was a big high tree, and it was over the road, and we had a treehouse. So all I remember now – let's go back to a 13-year-old's perspective or whatever age. I might have been younger. I might have been
– Wait, 13? Wasn't that the same age you were
– Yeah, so I was probably nine.
Taking pictures with that guy?
You took that story out of – isn't that the same time you were hooking up with the guy from the mall for free DQ for whatever, you get the bit. So anyway, I might have even been younger, but people would knock on our parents' door and complain that we should take the fort down. We always thought they were assholes. Like, they're assholes. That's who was doing it. And then I went back and I looked and went, oh my God, they were people that cared. They were the people that saw us up in a tree fort over a road thought his parents, these parents cannot know. So they would like it wasn't in front of our house. It was in front of someone else's house. And they would knock on the door. And we're like, that guy's an asshole. When we went back and looked at the tree, I'm like, can you believe that we had a tree for it? Like literally over the road, one branch goes and like boom, right on a car.
You know, it's funny. When I was I used to fight a lot with my brother when we were kids. And we got in this big fight once. We got in trouble. My parents made us go upstairs into different rooms. And I decided I'm getting out of here. So I opened the window and we had our porch you know, in the front that had a little roof over it.
Yeah.
So it's a two-story house. So I was like, I'm going to get out. So I opened the window and I was out on the roof. I was like headed for the gutter. I was going to like hang down.
So I'm sorry. You just saw I got distracted. Yeah. You're sneaking out of the house.
So I'm sneaking out of the house. I'm punished. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm getting out of here. So I open the window and I'm like out on the roof. And then this shitty kid I hated who lived across the street, he like came home from somewhere and he saw me on the roof. And I saw him look at me and walk up to my front door. And he told on me.
What a fucking prick.
I know.
How old is he? He's your age?
My age. Fucking
oh, I hope that. What is
he fucking
that?
Told on me. My mom came up.
Truly not minding her own business.
I know. And my mom came upstairs and opened the door to this bedroom. And she's like, get in here. They pulled me in off the roof. It's like the worst beating I got as a kid.
Do you know?
Scoundrel.
Oh, you guys. I was going to ask what happened. Because I think my dad. I'm guessing because of another story that my dad would have had the ability to call that kid for what he was and still discipline me in private.
Because that would be cool.
Because we had a story once, and this is, you know, my dad, and it's my brother Michael, so, you know, we get along great. It's not like, but back then he was like, he really did something to annoy me and it was really driving me crazy. And I got mad and I think I punched a hole in his door. And the minute I got home, he goes to my dad, look what Todd did. Look what Todd did. Come upstairs and look what Todd did. Look what Todd did. Look what he did. And my dad, I don't know why, went, he doesn't even use this language. He went, I think he said this word. He goes, what did you do, you prick, that made him do it? Right. And I went, oh, my God, like he dealt
Touché.
With it. Now, he came with me. He did do something. It ended up, by the way, it was really, even at that age, he was being very just mean-spirited, you know? So not mean, my brother might listen to this. I don't want him to think. But anyway, and then I remember my dad dealing with me separately just because he said, you know what, you're getting too much joy out of tattling. I'm going to take the buzz out of it. He was still able to go to me and go, hey, that's not the way we do things around here. You know, you don't
that's
punch
cool.
holes
that's
in the
like,
door.
That's good parenting, I think.
You know what? I
pretty
I did
good
something.
In that one case. And then he was, then he wouldn't. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say very similar to your story. I don't know if you guys remember, but we're around the same age, I think. So I remember my family we got our first tape recorder from Crazy Eddie. It was an electronics store on the East Coast. Right, so we got the tape recorder. It's just the flat rectangle, classic.
You had to press play and record at the same time.
So my parents went out one night. We were really young. My brother was being impossible. I just remember we were fighting. And I remember thinking in my head, he's being such a dick. Like, I'm not doing anything wrong here. Like, so I went upstairs and I got, like, kind of took a break from the fight. I go upstairs and I got the tape recorder and I brought it down and put it on the steps. I pressed play record.
Oh, that's great.
And I re-entered. I re-engaged him, but I was like, why are you being? I was just playing. I knew we were being taped, and he didn't. So right. I was being like suddenly very like plaintive and yes. just saying like, what's your problem? Like, what's going on here? Like, let's be friends. Like, I mean, just can't believe you're acting like this. Just whatever bullshit.
You know what though? Let me interject here real quick. Even though you did that. I don't buy that. That didn't prove what he was doing.
No, so you're right. You're right. So there was still truth.
There was still truth. You might have been overly setting him up, but you were certainly just being nice to see. You know, you had to be nice to see. Just, yeah, I'm all right with it. By the way, that's what I'm saying.
My parents come home and same thing. They come home and I'm like, I'm your brother in that story. I'm like, look at. Can you listen to this tape? Because this is how he was. I taped our interaction. Like, I love the child mind that you're like, I solved it. Like, they're going to see the evidence.
Yeah, did
of course
you think
I got
just going to, like, send him away or something?
Yeah, but I got in so much trouble, of course, because it was, I think they were probably just horrified. They're like, oh, our son's so devious.
Yeah, because you think at that point they're old and they're not. You have to think, like, you're going to have kids one day and you won't. You're not stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I think you luck out when you have parents that are very. There are parents. I remember having friends growing up. My parents were, first of all, very young. And very aware.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, as aware as, you know, very aware. They didn't get, you know, you didn't. But so I had friends, their parents, not even older. They were just oblivious. We did so much shit at their house and got away with it. My parents, if we came home and we had a party, my mom would see like the fucking drape a half an inch, go, you know, you didn't get anything. Yeah. Now, I told that story about my dad because something that was cool. But then in other ways, my dad could be totally. I mean, I wish I was making this up. Here's how out of it my dad was. Like, he was back in the 50s or when, you know, whenever. Like, he thought it was still happy days. There was some kids in the neighborhood, and they would pick on some of my brothers. It was a neighborhood, it sounds sad, because we were Jewish, and it was a sort of an anti-Semitic neighborhood, and we were stuck in there. My dad, we had some problems. We only stayed there for a year, and then we moved. But my dad goes, listen, the next time they pick on you, you say you want to talk to their leader. Leader? Even my mom started cracking up. She's like, Paul? Leader? What is this, happy days? Like, you know, she thinks it's the old days where they have a gang
and they have a leader. No, it's three kids. They don't have jackets with their name on
leader
them.
Leader of the pack.
Anyway, Nally's dead. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Blake knows he's really dead.
That's how it's
But
done.
It's funny to say it that way. Anyway.
Your father's dead?
Yes.
Mine is too.
Is he? Yeah. We could have a dead's.
Mine's dead too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you know the these comedians that I used to know, Mix Nuts? That was really their name. They were actually funny in Philadelphia. And I don't want to disparage them because they were very funny. People, they could be listening. I know the name is funny now, but they were really funny actually. And they used to have a joke that two guys had a dead dads and one guy had a live dad. And they would always go, oh, you want to hear this? Two live dads. And the other one would go, you know my dad's alive. Why do you guys do that? You tell live dad jokes. You know he's alive.
That's funny.
That was funny. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Where do we go next? I want to what do I have? I don't even know what that means. Oh, the carolers. They were here already. All right. I'm all right. I feel good. Let's take a quick break because I'm going to get a drink. Is that cool? We have break music we can play. What do you got for us over there? Is there? Hold on. I like the Sesame Street theme. Play that. Well, the Sesame Street song. You know this song. I think I figured out last week, by the way, and I don't want to make everyone jealous that I can finally, I think I could sing this song. Go play it. We won't take a break, but play the song.
Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
This is, I play this every night in my headphones. That makes me go to bed. All right, we'll play this and we'll come right back.
Manamana. Manamana.
My name's Todd Glass, and I have a podcast called The Todd Glass Show, so everyone knows that I'm in charge of it. I have a podcast and guests come on, and I play jingles, and I do sketches, and it's fun.
Oh, my God. That's Rory Scovel. It sounds like he's making fun of me.
Yeah, it might have been the connection.
How does it sound to you that he would, like, I heard it like, my name is Todd Glass. That's how he's doing it, right?
I don't know. He sounded like a fan. I mean,
oh, really?
A little bit. I mean, a slight bit of a fan, you know.
You know,
sometimes
funny
when you, like, it's a, when a lot of approvals in your voice, it, like, shoves.
You know, it'd be funny if you like you hear this message and it sounds like this, and it's a person. You go, no, Todd, I think he likes your show. And then we're at a restaurant night. We hear that same voice going, this is the best soup I've ever had. Tell the chef I like it. Like, oh my God, that's that guy.
There he is.
He really was positive.
Oh, I have to tell my friends about this restaurant. It's the best I've ever heard or been to.
And he's in bed with his wife.
Oh, that feels so good.
That'd be
but you like already put a bomb under his car, so you have to send your wife out to his car.
I like the guy as a movie critic.
He doesn't die.
What about as a movie critic?
Oh,
three thumbs up for another Adam Sandler movie. Oh, I really like this one.
But he's does.
He's the film critic
right.
With three hands.
He's the most, yeah.
What does he have three hands?
He said
he gave three thumbs up. To
well, it says Joe. Did I say that?
Yeah. That's a great character. A guy, a film critic with a birth defect. He's got three thumbs.
Everyone's afraid to argue with him because he has three
thumbs. I gave
it
two thumbs up, so I guess you could say I didn't like this one.
Exactly. When he's hitchhiking, you're like, whoa, pull over.
Yeah. Guys, you got three thumbs out. Come on, we can't pass by him. We were talking about when we were on our break. People wonder what we do on our break, and that's why I'm this fucking close to just start shooting that, too, because people want to see this shit. I'm really trying. The guy was overly.
No,
people,
make him wonder.
Sometimes you're right. A little mystery is good. I'll tell you what we were doing. Me and Dimitri were hanging out. We talk.
Yeah.
We were talking about you going on the road. Have you ever done the tour bus thing for any amount of time?
One time in 2006, I did a tour, and I had a tour bus for part of it.
And did you have some friends on it with you?
Yeah, I had a few friends on it. We did like 30 cities. This was a weird thing where I got this deal. I was doing these web. I did web films for Microsoft for the launch of Vista, of Windows Vista. With the tour, they kind of half-sponsored, and then my hour-long special that I did way back was like the end of it. So that's why there was no real reason for me to have a tour bus.
But it was – did you love it?
It was pretty fun. I sleep pretty well in vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sleep in those things. You've been on one of those, yeah, like the curtain and everything.
The reason I ask is because, not that I couldn't enjoy it because it wasn't my tour bus. I still, you know, I love the tour buses. I've talked about it on the show a lot. It's just all I want in life is a tour bus. But I just can't wait till it can be like, wasn't there something fun? And if the answer is no, then maybe it's,
no.
Was there something, when it pulled up, were you like, oh my God, this is fucking awesome?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then one time I went on a tour, not as many dates with, it was a Funny or Die tour. It was Will Ferrell, Zach, Nick, and me. And that was cool. And Andrew Savage was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same kind of thing where it has the curtains, like the little sleeper rooms.
Yeah.
There's like a TV in the back. That was fun. I remember on the one tour, on my tour, we stopped at some rest stop in Oklahoma or somewhere. And they had like DVDs for sale. So I bought The Karate Kid, which I'd seen so many times, but just because there was a DVD player and the thing, I was like, let's watch The Karate Kid.
Take advantage of this.
Yeah, living the life. What a waste of a bus. And like, I'm so not a partier. So the driver was probably like, oh, this is so boring. This guy's doing fucking puzzles in the back of this bus. Are you kidding me?
Probably like probably for a bus driver, like if it's people making a lot of noise and it might be just good for him. He goes, you know
right.
what? The noise, it keeps me going in the middle of the
right.
night. You're back there, you know, checkmate.
Exactly. It's like,
or whatever.
There must be something where you're kind of like living the life. You're like, I'm driving Motley Crue. Holy yeah. shit. I'm driving who? Dimitri, the guy who looks like Blossom? You fucking kidding me?
In the back. I would
ding ding clink plunk.
My dream is to have a tour bus, dream sounds funny, but it's one of the things I'd like. I don't dream about it. Meanwhile I do, but I'm embarrassed. Todd, wake up. I was dreaming about my tour bus. But have like a little band on there, like a drum, even if it's a keyboard and drums, a tight little drum set and a keyboard, and at night they fucking play
cool.
and you have fun and
you
live life. You know, whenever we would pull up places, I would always get mad. One tour bus driver, he was always the tour bus driver. If he doesn't have a good energy, then it's the whole energy of the bus.
Yeah.
Usually they're almost like,
it's like a fart. It goes from the front to the back.
That's true. It just spreads through. You can't have a different energy than the bus driver unless you don't care. Unless you're one of those people like old school with help. You don't care if the help likes you. But if you like, you know what I mean, with that attitude of the help. But if you like the people that are maybe working for you, there's got to be a good vibe that
yeah.
you want the tour bus driver to be happy, because then it's easier for you to be happy. Most of them are great. Sometimes you get real passive aggressive guys and it ruins. They're like, hey, can we pull over to eat? Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've never been in this area before.
Right.
Oh, well, if you just see a McDonald's like up ahead, you mind pulling off? Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, that's no problem. Whatever you want. You're the boss.
Yeah, there you go.
I hated you're the boss because it was saying, if I could, I wouldn't do it. I fucking hate this, but you're the boss. So that's the reason it's going to happen.
Sir is like that too.
Yeah.
It's such an insulting.
Yeah. Paul Tompkins has a very funny bit about that, how sir is never used in the royalty that it should be used. Like, sir, excuse me. And then they're.
Right.
Or is it sir? Yeah, it's sir.
Yeah.
Like it's sir. And then it's telling you to do something that if you wouldn't talk to a sir like that.
My aunt was a physical science teacher for middle school students in Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
She had a student named Sir once. I remember she told me.
Oh, that would get. I'd have to give him a nickname.
Parents named him Sir.
That's smart, though.
Their theory was that we want our son to be respected, so she had to call his kid Sir.
And he changed
his first name.
And you know that's true. You know who he changed his name to? Rodney Dangerfield.
Boom.
Does that make sense? Somehow, because they wanted him to get respect. But
oh,
then
yeah, okay, right, I see it.
Yeah, they wanted
him. He threw a curveball there. I was like, what is he talking about?
I didn't know either. I think it's sort of, if I re-listen to the show, I might be able to connect and go, no, that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. I'm with you.
What happened? So they wanted him to be called Sir.
They wanted him to get respect.
He never ended up getting it.
Yeah.
And then he ended up just changing his name to Rodney. I get no respect, you know? My parents named me Sir. All right. So, what were we just talking about? I'm sorry.
Black people?
Yeah.
You always go there. No, we were just talking about something.
Good as everyone else.
Touring on the tour bus. Okay. Well, my point is that if you have money, everybody should chip in and buy me a tour bus.
It's such a hobo's fantasy that you'll have a tour bus with a trio on it.
Oh,
you just want to be speeding down the street with little jazz trio.
Oh. They say that. They say that.
It's like a guy who should never be given money. Like, what would you do if I gave you $10 million? Well, I'd buy a bus and
that'd be funny.
And have a band play
a jazz trio on it.
That'd be funny. There's like a weird place in the beyond. It's like they keep a tally of the most wasteful fantasies. It's like, are you kidding me? This is what this guy's gonna do?
It's not only a waste. That would be a waste of money. That's like a waste of imagination.
Well, although.
Good point, but hold on.
Okay.
I don't know why I started having this perspective, and it all leads back to the band on the tour bus. Make me go back to the band on the tour bus. I used to see when I saw, like, they're showing HGTV, they're showing the White House getting ready for Christmas. And at first your instincts, or when you see a big affair that's happening around a major catastrophe in the world, I used to think, this is not really the right I used to think that. I'll tell you why I feel differently now. Yeah, it's probably not the right time for the White House to be building cakes and making fake poodles out of their dog. Or same thing if there's a big they always feel bad during the award shows if 9/11 had just happened. Right, it's a little disrespectful. But everybody's getting paid. It's good. Oh, like everything that's being done at the White House is employing people that are not rich.
Those are jobs.
So if you look at it that way, it's all right. Like the more shit they do at that White House, the more people that it takes to prepare dinner. And the same thing like in an event. If there's an event during a catastrophe in this world, yeah, guess what? There's janitors working on this event. There's plumbers working on this event. There's electricians working on this event. Cooks, cake paper, every type of person. So it's good.
That's so true. It's weird to me that they don't. You'd think they would say that. You'd think they would actually brag about how many.
I don't think you have to brag about it, but I do agree with you in a sense.
Only because people get upset.
You'd be surprised over the years if it wasn't put out as a statement. Remember this, and we understand. Like I just said it. Like I get it. It seems a little disrespectful, but remember this, people. Like maybe it's in a public service when these awards are going on, and many people and many families, and this is why we decided to go forward with it.
It should be even bigger when there are problems.
Yeah, because more
people. Employ more people.
Imagine that if you got a call and you did all that stuff for the White House or you did that for an event party. You were the plumber. You were the electrician. And you got a call because there was a flood in Minnesota or whatever. And they go, hey, we're not going to have it. It seems disrespectful. Fuck.
I'm out of work.
Like, man, I think I could still show my respect and still work. I don't think this work should be in the name of not caring about what just happened. Like, you know, because I'm not taking my – why don't I quit my job? Well, I'm not doing comedy for a week because there was a flood in Minnesota. I don't. I'm making sense, but I got a little lost.
Maybe they can like build it and then just have it.
You know, that's sort of a good idea, but you're saying no. That's not a way. That's not right. Then it's a waste of food.
Or just if they keep reminding
people eat it.
If they keep acknowledging the thing, you know what I mean? Like if people come out like every speech at the award show, everyone's like, "Hey, I'm really sorry about Minnesota." So. In this category, we have like some really great movie. You know, the next person comes out. Before I say thank you for this award, just like, how about that flood in Minnesota? Am I right, everybody? All right. So anyway, this was like lifelong dream. My manager, my agent.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to point out that the tragic floods in. I can't. That's it. That's all I got. That's my improv skills.
I do like that. I got followed you through Minnesota.
You could have used Minnesota.
I don't know. Hey, we're not saying
Minnesota have flooding problems. That's the land of 10,000 lakes, right?
I always worry people listen and catch me. It's very disturbing unless you hear me say this. I think people – justifiably, I do the same thing. Like last week I was talking about if a guy goes into a karaoke bar with one of those – get that karaoke song, Walking on Sunshine. Like if a guy that goes into the karaoke bar but he has a – what's that called? We call it a defibrillator, but it's not. On the throat?
Oh.
What's that called? A voice box?
Yeah.
So we were – maybe I won't do this. But so when I said it, and I know people when they get to that point of the podcast and I'm calling it a defibrillator, they're like, that's not a defibrillator. It's very hard for them to get past it. But I always tell people, get past it because it's going to happen. I get corrected when we go off the air. There's probably 5 words I said wrong last week. But people tell me, my family, Todd, you said swelling up when you cried. It's welling up. I'm like, okay, Spencer, thanks.
I don't know if I told you this last time.
Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yeah.
Yes.
I swell. Oh, I got a little emotional. I swelled up. That looks like I got an allergic reaction to being sad as opposed to welling up, which means crying. What the fuck are you looking at over there, you prick?
Well, these are the contretemps of radio.
Wait, I don't get what you just did.
I don't know. I'm nervous.
No, don't be nervous. See, if you're in the moment, things can never go wrong. I said something, you got nervous, you admitted it, and everything's great.
I was next to the moment.
how was watching that moment?
Yeah, what were you going to say, Dimitri? Help me.
I was going to say I saw you at Meltdown last time. I think I saw you was there. And I can't remember if we talked about this, but you and I have a weird connection because years ago, I think I told you the story, but I had a pitch meeting at Comedy Central. I was living in New York. My agent said, hey, you got this. I don't think I had an agent yet. I think my manager at the time said, they want you to go into Comedy Central and pitch, you know, whatever you want. They can pitch a bunch of ideas. So I worked and I wrote down all these ideas in my notebook. The day came and I went over there and I was meeting with a couple of their executives, you know, and I was flipping through the pages. I was like, it's a show. It's 26 episodes and everyone's based on a different letter of the alphabet. They'd be like, nah, okay. It's, I don't know. I just remember all these random ideas. And one of the ideas I had, I was like, all right, well, this is going to be really, I'll just pitch it. I mean, it's kind of out there. I'm the main character and I'm in a coma for the whole show. And the show just kind of happens around me, but I'm just like in the coma or whatever. And they're like, you're kidding, right? So what are you talking about? They said, we're in development with that. It's called Todd's Coma. That's Todd Glass's idea. I was are you kidding me? I thought I came up with the most random, you know, not that it's the most random idea, but it was for me a random idea. And I,
you know, show.
That's right.
That's the weirdest part. Well, the funny, I worked on that together.
Yeah, I forgot about that because I told Komen about this. That's right. Yeah, so I just think it's so funny that you, that was your show. That was both of your show. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, Comedy Central never developed. It ended up that Adam Sandler's production company did it with TBS, but Comedy Central was looking at it.
That was a different version.
Oh, right. You're right.
Because we made a version.
Oh, that was that long ago.
Yeah, this is way back.
Oh, yeah. That's when we were doing it at the Comedy Central workspace.
Yeah.
But you know what? That story sort of it sort of leads me into talking about this. That my brother, I was explaining to him that when people have bad reputations in comedy for stealing or whatever, it's not because of one incident.
Right.
Things genuinely happen. People look at your year. Like, there's a great example. You didn't see my fucking thing.
Right. We didn't know each other. Random, yeah.
Because what my brother was saying was, man, don't sometimes minds just think alike? And he expected me to say no. I went, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah. It can happen to a crazy point, you know, where it's like, I swear, you know, from your soul, you didn't see someone.
Oh, yeah.
But what happens if you don't have a bad reputation is that's happened 30 times by the time you have a bad reputation.
Absolutely.
Because if it happens once or twice, I explained to him, that's two comedians in the back of the room like me and Doug Benson going, oh, you do that thing. I go, I do the same thing. He goes, let's both do it. And then you don't give a shit.
Right.
I said, so that's happened. Because, yeah, sometimes it's just weird. Like, you go, and I could see even somebody going, come on, that close. And sometimes you've seen it where, like, yeah, two minds can think alike, but not 50 times a year.
Well, that's always...
that's when you get your... okay, yeah, and it's that, not a coincidence.
For me, that story of pitching that was always... that's always my touchstone, my reminder that, like, many, 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 many ideas have been already done. Mm-hmm. Maybe every idea has been done in some version. Who knows?
Right.
But it's humbling.
Isn't there a show somewhere now? It's like with women and someone's in a coma?
There is. Oh, no, we saw it.
Oh, girl coma. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You know, I came home from... that would sell, probably.
Excuse me. You're not the star of Girl Coma. I am. We love Girl Coma.
Girl Coma.
It's called Todd's Coma. No. Girl Coma.
They get that. Coma. The idea really came from Mike. One day I came home from an audition. I hated auditioning. I said, I don't want to audition anymore. I hate it. Just let me... Mike goes, why don't you just you have a show where you can play a guy in a coma or something? And I was like, I love it. Well, then it took me 2 days to convince him it was a good idea, even though he had given it to me. And he was very generous when it came to, they said, who came up with the show? You're like, well, you said that I did, because you really
well,
did.
Well, I said it, but you but thought took, of it as an actual show.
You said it jokingly, you gave me credit for, like, you would have just written it off. And,
yeah.
But when it came time to that, I was so glad you let that go, because I thought, oh, watch him fucking try to take a producer. I'll fucking kill him. I'll crush him. I'll go to his mother's. No. I was actually ready to do, obviously, to understand. Yeah, I said to my manager, I go, well, he did really say it. But you were like, no, I said it, but you. That was very nice of you, Mike. That's all I was trying to say.
No, you deserve all the credit.
After it failed. You'd say that.
It would be funny.
Yeah, that's when I started saying that.
No, it's funny now that it's failed. No, Todd. You deserve all the credit.
You saw that.
No, it was you.
No, that was
Mike, I made a mistake. It was your idea.
Todd, it was your baby.
Mike, I would have never done it. I would have never done it. I'm telling you, can you put my heart to you?
The way it ended up and the way that it was handled was all you said. These are the decisions that should be made to eventually make it not happen.
I think I got to give you credit for that, because it was your idea.
2 years later, Michael's Coma was made into a hit series.
It's Michael's Coma.
Hey, Mike, when are you coming out of that coma?
It's Mike's Coma. I don't know why I did a sound effect. Maybe it didn't even make sense. I do anything. You know, the guys on the...
Oh, shit. My headsets are down.
Wait, I can't hear. I don't think your microphone.
you said my headsets are down. You took headphone technology and really elevated it. I suppose. Oh, my headphones are unplugged.
The headsets are down.
The headsets are
Nancy
down.
Nancy Grace's tin is out. I don't know why I love. Okay, we might be taking a break right now.
It's not going.
Oh, it's not.
It's not even recording.
No.
Oh, yeah, they can hear.
Oh, I
see.
But we'll edit this.
If you want us to relay any messages, Todd.
Tell them that we'll be right back. Tell them we're fixing.
You're good.
All right, here we go. I'm
going to
fix this.
Is that a wah-wah pedal?
This is my fault.
Man, technology. It'll always enable you to do things.
Technology.
Can you talk?
There we go. Hello, hello, hello.
Isn't it amazing how much one candle can add to a mood?
Shut the fuck up, Dimitri. This guy here, are we taping?
No, he needs it in a nice way.
Let me explain this.
What's that?
I think he's being serious.
He needs it in a good way.
He's being serious.
I am being
serious. Yeah, and that's what I'm about to tell you something. Okay, we had a little problem. We don't have to hide this break. I pressed my echo button, and the machine made everything disconnect, and now we're back. And when we came back, Dimitri said something that I think... He's okay. Here's what he said. He goes, isn't it amazing how one candle can change the atmosphere so much? And that's what I always say. Like, as much as you do it, I'm surprised when you go over an adult's house sometimes. I've said this before, but I like that you noticed that. How much people are not aware of the ambiance. And when I do it, people say, oh, he's so anal or something. I went, well, how much of it is anal and how much of it is it real? If you went to a theater and the lights lowered, would you go, oh, they're so anal?
Right.
Well, calling me anal is just as silly because, no, there's an importance to lighting. And when it's a younger person, I get it because they don't know. And as you get older, you start – I see people, they're 30, 40 years old. You go over their house. And I always say – I've said this before. I'm saying it again. On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the brightest. I'm not talking about a 7. I'm talking a fucking 10.
It's crazy.
I'm like – one, but especially a stick candle, for whatever the reason, you would think I'd be used to it now. But if me and, like, sometimes when me and Jimmy Dore are on the road, Jimmy brings a candle with him. So after the show, we don't want to do anything. We go back to the hotel. If you have a suite and there's like a little sofa area, you light one candle, turn all the lights out, you sit around, smoke pot and talk. And it's like, it's your campfire.
Well, it's exactly, because it's amazing. I always think with lighting design, it makes sense if you mimic, I guess, more like the circadian rhythms or like what we are as animals, like from before technology, during the day, the sun is above your head. So overhead lighting, you don't even really need it during the day. But if you do, if it's overcast or something, overhead seems to make sense. But at night, people, they had the moon, but that's kind of faint and distant. But they had fires. So my rule is usually like, I like to have lighting sources from below my eye level at nighttime. It's cozier.
Believe me, you're right. And I this just happened this weekend. He's like my cousin. His name is, we call him Davey Wavy, but his name is David Miller. Around his adult friends, I don't like to call him. I've known him since he's 17, but now he's like 25. So
does he have wavy hair?
No. We just started to stick with him.
Because it rhymed.
Davey Wavy. So anyway, he had a party at his house. I got there and it was fully lit. Now, he's been to a lot of parties in my house. He knows this conversation I have about low. And I walked in. I'm like, Dave, are you shitting me? He goes, is it too bright? That's what my girlfriend said. Walked around lowering everything. He lit two candles. Sure, now people are just chilling out in the corner. And that's the source of – I'm just amazed. It just will never amaze me. But very few people would point that out. So you might go, well, of course you love that Dimitri pointed out, Todd, because it makes you look not crazy. But
I think we just have this similar minds.
Yeah. And I think we should start making fun of people. It's funny how in life, the people that I could see why I get made fun of. Oh, look at Todd with his lights. But like, how come I'm not making fun of you? Like, right. Why shouldn't it be the other way around where we go, look at you. Hello, I'm going to open up your house for a party like a soup kitchen. Blah. Why am I the dumb one that I care about? You got it backwards. I'm supposed to make fun of you because it's like the same thing I say about crying. Like, I'll admit I cry on the show. I'm not going to hide it. I admit I cry all the time. But yet, I still get some of that stereo, like, not stereotypical, but
You'll know what I mean. Like, if I'm on a plane and the lights come up and I'm crying, I'll try to hide it a little bit. Sure. I'll try to wipe my eyes a little bit as some people sitting next to me. But why isn't it the other way? Why wouldn't you, like, say to your friend, a movie's over and he's been hiding his head, and you go, why are you hiding your head? He goes, because I just watched a movie that anybody that had any emotion would have cried. I'm sitting here like a blob of shit. Yeah, right, that's a little embarrassing for me.
Right.
Like, I realize people are looking over. Like, really? That movie didn't make you shed a tear? That guy's probably has a problem. But instead, it's him going, hey, look at you. You're crying. Yeah, like a normal person. Hey, I can't believe it. You have emotion. He's crying. But yet, why don't I just go, fuck it. I'm crying. I should look around going, yeah, I'm crying. There you go. But I won't. I'll like try to, you know, do the old fix the air, even though it's very cliche. Comedians, you fix the air vent. You know?
I had a guy, girlfriend. Really?
Well, they say it like the air was hitting me in my eye. Maybe that's, I always thought that was the comedian's joke. Like, you know, even though I'm talking about it in a serious way, I think there was a comedian once that said, like, when the movie comes on and you're crying, you know, oh, the air vent's in my way. I don't know which comedian said it. We'll take this out. We'll take a break. We'll play music. We're back on the show. We're back. We're live. Mike Coleman, what do you got to say?
I know, I was going to say, I had a girlfriend once who, 10 years after the Challenger exploded, I was watching it on the news, and I started crying a little bit, and she started making fun of me. And it was, I guess it was the end of the relationship.
Yeah, that's like, because it's like, you know, it's supposed to be the opposite. That's the easier thing to do. You know what the cool thing to do is? Just, you're in a situation where I've been in a situation where someone gets emotional from out of nowhere. They're telling a story, and don't you fantasize to go, hey, this is the perfect spot for you to do that. Don't feel uncomfortable. I'm glad you know me well. Who would think to, hey, I'm having an emotion. Oh, yeah, now's a good time to take a dump on their fucking being.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a full-grown adult. How old was this girl? And by the way, how old was this girl when she did it?
Actually, she was 31 and I was 21.
Yeah, that's real mature.
Yeah. Well, I think some people that don't have – they're just uncomfortable around emotions.
Oh. Well, I never – you know, it's funny how I could be so adamant about opinion and then you shed a little light on it and I go, oh, all right, well, maybe that's why.
I wish there was something in between not crying and crying, like if you could cry with just one eye or something.
Like, you mean exactly.
Control it, so it'd be like, you know, I'm upset. I'm not freaking out here, but you like, know, it's just my right eye. I'm crying.
A giggle version of crying.
It's like a half cry. It's like, you know, I feel for you. I'm not in distress, but you know, I have emotions. So you can see my right eye is really streaming. Yeah,
but you're not like a lunatic.
Yeah, I mean, you see, I'm dry on the left. It's not like I'm crybaby or something.
Yeah,
I think it's a good movie. That's why I'm crying with one eye.
Right. The proper dosage of crying is what you're witnessing.
It's just on or off.
But it's also hard. You can fake. It's okay to like fake laugh as like appreciation for things, but you can't second to show people like I get that it's sad.
I always say like that's what's weird about comedy in like the digital age is that people don't watch YouTube for sad. You don't watch sad stuff in really short clips. So it's like that, like if you make dramas, it's consumed differently. It's kind of protected. But for us, people say, hey, check this out. This clip's 4 seconds long. This guy gets hit in the nuts. Come watch this. It's funny. But I don't ever hear people be like, come over here. I want to show you this really sad thing on YouTube. It's like 20 seconds. It's really sad. Come check this out. We'll get sad for 20 seconds.
No, but if that clip was 10 minutes long and you like got to know that guy,
yeah,
it would be sad when he got hit in the nuts.
Right,
like
exactly.
The whole reason those things are funny is you don't care about those people.
Totally. But isn't it interesting? Like if you make sad things, I don't think your content has been affected quite the same way that those of us who try to make funny things has been.
Wait, explain that.
If you make dramas, there's internet content, but it's not being divvied into tiny chunks.
Oh, right, right.
Like people still need television drama for drama or movies, but I'm surprised that comedy exists. I'm surprised that so much comedy even exists. I thought there's really nothing funnier just for watching something and laughing out loud. America's Funniest Home Videos is still the funniest show, and I hate even thinking that because I don't think the show – it's not like a show that I think is good
or anything. You just think the clips are enjoyable.
But as far as something that makes me like laugh involuntarily, that show kills me.
And second to that?
America's Funniest People, which is canceled.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I love the banter that they make them do in those shows. Some people I think, come on, they got to smell this. You know who was the best at thinking they were fooling everybody and he's an institution, but I'm allowed to tease him, is Dick Clark and Ed McMahon. It used to just go, come on. It made me almost, you know what? I don't want to overly insult them, but I might be. Someone might go, no, you're right. I know he's respected and he's, but when you watch that fake banter, isn't that indirectly calling your audience dumb? Like, weren't there other performers back then that watched it? There had to be other guys watching that and go, oh, Dick Clark out there fake laughing with Ed McMahon. Like, it was so bad. They didn't even try. You could tell they would go, okay, you just saw this clip in a blah, blah, blah. And he would go, ha, 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 ha.
Right.
Well, that had to hurt. Like, you weren't there. Like, people smell it. And, then a fake laugh. Like, they would constantly, you could think he thought he was the king of it. And I could imagine, like, in the production room, just going, just roll it. I know what to do. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Ed.
Well, you know what's funny is that, like, before media.
Is that weird, Mike?
No, I totally know what you mean.
Okay. But, you know, like, what you're talking about, it's like, even from when we were kids, TV back then, people who are inauthentic, like TV, mass media, it seems like it just lends itself so quickly and easily to just not being authentic, not being yourself, not being what you really feel.
You know what? That's funny you say that, because Sarah Silverman was working on this joke. She goes, comedy has sort of evolved over the years. There used to be a time when it was a more of a formulaic delivery, and that shouldn't all be laughed at. There was a time when that was great, and there were some great comedians that had very distinct deliveries, and some are still funny, but it wasn't like a Zach Galifianakis, I'm hard to say, or a Mitch Hedberg distinct delivery. That was one with a great. It was a very hey, and it was like very like in the 80s, and hey,
sure,
and
hey,
it was very
folks. Has this happened to you? You know.
Yeah, and it was a fake voice. But then comedy evolved, and it became more trying to talk, you know, try to talk a little normal, more normal stories. It's just the way it evolves. It doesn't mean that was wrong. It just means it changes. Yeah.
Well, drama too.
Yeah, and my point is that with the news, she said though, it's not. They still do that very formulaic. Like, you would think we'd look at it and go, God, remember when they now it's gotten a little better maybe, but it's still, they have their rhythms.
But I think there's a reason for that.
Thank you, Mary. And they go back, when they throw back, that's a fucking way to do that. You can tell they say the name and then they go, and back to you. And it's very much in this.
I had a bit where, because, you know, you live out here, you listen to NPR a lot in your car or whatever you listen to, but I end up listening to NPR a lot. But I always think it's funny that you have to do your name at the end of the story. You know, and that's how you wrap up the story.
Lisa Chuchester.
Yeah, so my bit was that, like, I would be the one reporter who says my name in the middle. I'd be like, so the flooding's really bad down here in Santa Monica. By the way, I'm Dimitri Martin reporting. So anyway, they're taking care of the flooding. And at the end, I'd be like, that's it.
What if you even did it more like the flooding's bad down here. Matter of fact, the transit system says that these buses aren't going to make it out in the middle of the night, which means a lot of people aren't going to get to work tomorrow. I'm Dimitri Martin, Channel 7. Now, the people in the neighborhood feel that goes right back to, you know.
Thanks for doing my name in it instead of yours. That was nice of you.
But, like, if news anchors had natural deliveries, then if they had told a sad story, pretty soon people would be expecting them, like, to get sad. If they said
that,
like, this hospital actually they weren't able to remove the victims during the hurricane and they all died. That if you say it like a robot, then you know, it's like you can move on. But if you don't, they'd be like,
that would be a great reporter
prick.
If that was the one guy who, when he got the news, he'd be like, oh shit, guys. There's this fucking fire. I can't even report this.
No, hold on.
Do this story.
Mike, nailed it. There's a reason. I almost like that there is, because if you had emotion when reading the news, as much as we can look at them, hey, look, and some guys manage to find it in between. The truth of the matter is some are over the top. Some find it in between. But you're right. There has to be that in between, because if you delivered the news with any emotion, you would just be depressed and crying. Think of the things they're telling you. That means youth is someone got shot and someone's son. And so when they get sad, it has to be almost an emotionalist sad, a fake TV sad, which means you just talk a little quieter and you roll your theme in quieter. Like Entertainment Tonight, when someone dies, they don't change anything. They're saying, da, na, 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 na.
Well, they do that. I mean, everybody knows that there's like, they have a tone for like sad news coming out of Ventura today. And then if they followed up with a happy story, the lady's voice immediately becomes happy.
Well, on
so
they
like,
try
you
to put
didn't a give a shit about Ventura. Like you,
yeah, how could
your
get
emotion
there?
Switched in the second you started talking about
matter of fact,
jamboree.
For emotion to switch in the TV world, if you give it 2.5 seconds, that's class.
Meanwhile,
sometimes they, you know, 2.5 seconds is this, right? And here's what you see that when they really. Anyway, these situations are always very sad to see, and it is certainly hard to report it. On a lighter note, there's a balloon festival coming up, and, you know, we'll try.
Meanwhile, like, local news must be hurting. Who is watching local news? Why would you watch it at all? Do you know what I mean? With the internet and everything, I don't even understand.
I always think about,
do you need the weather from the local news? Like, what are you watching it for?
Yeah, you know what? I never even thought about that because I flip, but unless as I'm flipping, something's coming right then. Like, I don't even stick around because I know they're going to show it at the end of the news.
Right.
Like a duck that directs traffic or something. Coming up at 7, there's a local duck that's directing traffic. You know, I'm not waiting half an hour. But if it's, I'm in the middle. if it's right there, like if they go and here, you know, and blah, 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 angry protesters, okay. But that's it. If it doesn't catch me, you're right. I'm not sitting there watching a half an hour.
With 24-hour news channels and the internet, I can't imagine why people
would. Local news always seems to me like I assume they all want to be national news people. And right. This is like, and at certain age, practice. You can tell who just knows, like, I'm.
Right, it starts
like she wanted to be Katie Couric.
It becomes less and less local. Like when you're a kid, it's just in your house.
Yeah,
you just like do news for your family, and then you can do like your block, and then you get like the town local news. Eventually, you get national.
Eventually, you get to
and then give world the news, space news.
But don't. But even in local news, there's like the people who have to be on at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
That would suck.
And
I would
the
get
people
my
who
car.
Are on at night are like the cool local news people. They're like, they have so much more confidence at 7 p.m. than they
do oh,
at
have
5
to go
in the morning.
They have to go to the 5 morning. That's not the best slot. So yeah. But you know, think about, well, anyway, who cares? I was going to say, think of how much money. Like, I know guys doing the news in Philadelphia, like Larry King, and he's been, Larry King, and there's another guy too, Jim Gardner. He's been 30 years. 30 years doing the news. Like, they got to make a shitload of money, right? You think someone would say you'd be surprised. I guess just for the fuck of it, because someone out there knows, all you got to do is probably Google it. What do you think a guy 30 years, what do you think a guy 30 years on the news, the main anchor on a news station for 30 years makes a year? Can you even, do you want to even guess?
I'd guess like, I don't, $300,000.
Oh, I was thinking, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million.
Really?
No.
Why?
No?
Really? Why? What? How much money could they make?
I don't know.
How much money could like advertisements?
You're just, right. I take it back.
It depends how much news there is. They get paid based on news units.
No, they don't.
Like, oh, good. A lot of stuff happened. I'm going to have a good month.
when I say no, it didn't. That means for half a second I believe you, and then I get disappointed in myself. I'm like, oh, they do. No, Jesus.
I like
Christ.
The idea of a news unit.
News, yeah. Oh, you get
like
paid
how,
by
how actual newsy the story is.
How many units do we have today? We've got 12 units of news. Oh, we better hurry. We got to say this stuff fast.
This is always unprofessional, but why not? What are we doing with time? How much time has the show been so far?
We're at like 1:25.
It's time to go in for the descent. That was fun.
I
like to go in
anchor.
For a slow descent, if that's all right. Wait, but
when,
this means
when Dimitri and I worked
3 minutes, okay, that's the descent. That's how quick. I say
Wait,
it's slow,
am
but
I
it's good.
What? Why was I talking?
Was there an anchor in the building or something?
They had the NBC News when we worked at 30 Rock, and the New York NBC anchor one time, I was in the commissary behind him, and it was just the two of us and the people that worked at the commissary, and he tried to pay for some frozen yogurt with a $100 bill. And the lady says, I'm sorry, we can't break this. And he goes, well, that doesn't make it easy for us anchors.
That's amazing.
Oh, I love that.
That's great.
I don't love that guy, but he's a character, all right?
Yeah.
Like that guy is like, if you saw that in a movie, you'd go,
yeah, yeah.
All right, we want the movie to seem real.
Yeah,
no
I
one
get it. I'm not
that.
Supposed to like that guy. Okay.
Yes, yeah. But no. Well, that's what I always say. Those moments in life that are like that. When if it was in a movie, you'd go, that wouldn't happen. But you're like, it did. That's how you have to tell it because it seems like you're. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. Yes, I do. They're great moments on the show. Everyone put a. Someone should put together a reel out there. If you have a, you know, people do something. People, you sit on your fat asses, listen to the show all day.
Yeah, and you can email us at todd@nerdist.com.
Yeah, I tell people to mail their pictures of grilled cheese sandwiches in, eating them nice. I say grilled cheese on the show, I've said it before, is as good as lobster. So treat it like lobster. Just because it's affordable doesn't mean it's not, you know. So I said, people send pictures that they set the table. Who sent that one picture in? They got it. No soda cans on the table, people. Although if you send it in, I still love you for sending it in. Someone lit candles and they got it. They were enjoying those grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Now, they were praying, and I don't want to go out on a limb and make it a religious show. I hope they were mocking praying, because then that's fun. But if they were really praying, I like when someone says to have a blessed day. I said this the other day. For some reason, and this is, I, I should explain that I don't know why I don't have a blessed day. I'm always like, all right. But if a black person says it, a woman, I sort of melt a little.
Nice.
Because you have a blessed day, doll. I'm like, oh, I will.
What, do you like it when people say they're so blessed, when you ask them how they are? And they go, I am so blessed.
It's a little presumptuous. It's like, oh, really? God's got a special eye on you? I'm blessed. Oh, really? Well, what about someone that's not blessed? Why don't you keep it to yourself?
I am God blessed.
Yeah, thank you. Jake, Alexi, Matt, and Kayla.
That's nice. They got the tablecloth. Yeah, lower the lights.
On the Facebook.
Too. I was just thinking that you could make, if bread came in a better shape for this, you could make like a grilled cheese cake. Like grilled cheese is one of the foods you could put candles in pretty easily. It would hold. You could light them. Like a, you know you what? Could even have a triple decker. I mean, and then when you cut it, it's like, you know, little wedges of grilled cheese.
No, I get it. I like it. And you have the pie thing. And you,
yeah, it's like a grilled cheese pie or something.
That would be a great appetizer at a restaurant.
That'd be really cool.
I like it. Rory was talking about this appetizer where they bring the bowl. You know when they usually bring soup in a bowl?
Yeah.
Well, this restaurant, he said he wants to open. They're going to have the bread. You know the bread itself?
Mm-hmm.
It comes in a bread bowl.
Yeah.
Pigs would love that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people that just go, I love it. They give you the bread and I eat the bread. And then they have a bread tablecloth. I really think people would like that. I've said it kiddingly, but I think if they went, you're not going to kid. If they got a bread tablecloth, you fucking eat it.
Oh, I always thought edible menus would be good. I'd be like, can we get anything to start with? Yeah, you're holding. Just eat the menu. You fucking pig. Just eat it. Oh, I can eat this? Yeah. It's for you.
Eat the fucking menu. Hey, I'll be right back. Jesus Christ. And then the people are looking like, do we really eat the menu? And then, you know, sure enough, gobble, gobble. You know, it's great to see people. I love it there. The sandwiches are so big, you can't even fit them in your mouth. Well, that's not a good sandwich. Unless you just like fucking masses of food that you can push into your face.
You can
take a lamb shank and put it on a Ritz cracker.
How do you do on the road with food?
I can't stop eating.
I find it really hard on the road to eat like the way I eat at home.
You eat healthy at home?
I eat pretty healthy because I live near a Whole Foods and it's like easy to go get a salad or have some soup or something, you know.
There's two Todd Glasses. So some people know the one that's healthy. A lot of my life I'm very healthy. If you saw me certain times, you're like, fuck, how do you know? He's like, just like really healthy. And then there's a guy at nighttime. Fucking, I can't stop.
You're like a dietary werewolf. That's the only part of you that becomes a werewolf is your eating habit.
That's not that much of an exaggeration to picture like this. And I'm better now. I'm better now because I really make a conscious effort about it. But, I mean, I would like just – one time I ate 13 Krispy Kreme donuts.
Holy
and
shit.
that was a thing that they did at a comedy club. They wanted to see how many would I eat till I was full. Not stuffed. My goal was not to eat 13 donuts till I couldn't breathe anymore. It was like, wow. When would I go? Here's when we agreed I'd stop. And the owner of the club got 24. Stop when you're like, you know when you have one Reese's cup? Do you like Reese's cups?
I used to. I'm allergic to peanuts, so I can't eat them.
What is the candy you really like?
Or
anything you really like?
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know what I like? Those cupcakes, those terrible cupcakes. The Hostess.
Oh, the twink, like the...
Like Ding Dong?
Ding Dong? Watch your mouth.
They're like... They're
Blake's
like,
mother listens. She hears Ding Dong. She, you know, she calls in.
They're chocolate.
Can I hear... Never mind. I'm sorry. The wrong voice was on. That's not his mother.
Can I hear Ding Dong?
they're chocolate with the white swirl across the top. You can get them in 7-Eleven.
Chocolate with the white
swirl? Oh, just I know Hostess cupcakes.
Hostess cupcakes.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, so if you had a bite of one, would that do it for you? Or do you need more? Like, aren't you picturing eating?
I usually eat the pear, but I can have one and be fine.
Oh, see, I can't. If I get a half a Reese's cup, it's not good. So they knew that, and I talked about that. I go, I can't enjoy Reese's cups unless I have four. Because while I'm eating the first one, I know I have a second one. When I'm eating the second one, I know I have the third one.
Yeah.
Even when I'm eating the third one, I know I got the fourth one. But if I have one Reese's cup, you know, Halloween, you open up one. Yeah, I'd rather not have anything. So they got me two boxes of Krispy Kremes and said, eat them until you go, you know what? I've had my full of.
Were you on the road or was?
Yeah, I was on the road in Omaha, and I ate 13.
Wow,
I could have had 12 maybe, but definitely not less than 12.
So you actually had a baker's dozen of.
Mm-hmm.
donuts.
And check this out. So the next, I hope this isn't totally boring. If it is, you know, what the hell. So anyway, I said the next day, they go, how could you eat 13 Krispy Kremes? Now, granted, the purpose of this story is not to say there's not something gluttonous about that. I get it. But not maybe as gluttonous as you would think. And so I said, you know what? Those 13 Krispy Kremes were the size of a dense piece of cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. And they're like, no, it isn't. Shut the fuck up. Well, back to the fucking store we went. And I bought 13 and came back to the comedy club the next day at night, and I brought the box in. I took 13 and I mushed them into one piece of cake, and it looked like one piece of cake.
Wow.
Now, I know that story really probably wasn't all worth it.
No, I think it's fine. My favorite part is picturing you mushing. Like getting to the mushing part. Yeah. Like you went, got the cupcake.
Like I made it this way, and then I tried to make it flat. I tried to shape it into like a triangle. Anyway, you know what? That's all
good. You know what? My girlfriend told me that when she was in high school, they went to the Cheesecake Factory once, and she tried to modify one of the dishes. She said, can I have this, you know, without the sauce or whatever?
No.
And the lady said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. She said, can I have this modified? And she said, no, we can't. And then finally the waitress said, you know, all the food just comes in a truck and we just heat it up here. I didn't know that.
Wait, the Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah, it's like made off-site.
Here's what someone told me about
it. They just deliver it and they just like half-cooked and they just heat
it
up.
It's like an airplane?
It's, yeah.
A lot of them, here's what someone told
me.
Isn't
that crazy?
Some of it's pretty good that it's in... I don't even know if this is true or not. So if someone's out there that knows, it's probably you know when you hear people.
At least
that,
they call it a factory.
No, they boil it.
So accurate.
Yeah, you're right.
It's true.
They boil a lot. Like the stuff comes in all the sauces. So if you got something, they might cook the chicken maybe on the grill, but that sauce is they're not making the sauce back there. It's packages.
Yeah, it's like packaged.
But
well,
I like
you know that like any restaurant that has like a giant menu.
I always wonder,
with a
like,
lot of items, then I always feel like, oh, it's all, it's
and you know, if the plates, my family has a diner. If the plates,
they do?
Yeah, in New Jersey.
Oh, my
if
God.
If the plates are hot, when you go, maybe everybody knows this, but when you get a dish and like your plate's hot and the other person, you know, when they're like, oh, watch it, your plate's hot. That means they timed the food wrong and your plate was sitting under the lights. So as it heats the food, it heats the plate too. So your food's just been sitting in the kitchen under a light. That's why the plate's hot. Unless it was from the dishwasher, but it's usually not that hot from the dishwasher.
Where's
it's because they left it under lights.
How long have they owned the diner?
Since 1988.
And they still own it? What's the name of it?
The Sandcastle Diner.
Wait, now why does that – like? I'm not even joking. Is that like a famous – like not you know how diners are known in certain areas?
No,
I don't mean famous in the –
No, but it's on Route 9, which is one of the bigger roads down there. I mean, I live a kind of across from Philly.
Do you? How old were you when they owned it? I'm asking all this for a reason because
well,
I'm obsessed. Like I would love if my family owned a diner. I used to lie about what my dad did because I tried to pick cooler jobs.
No good. When I was 11, we got a Greek food stand at the boardwalk, Jersey Shore. That boardwalk, Seaside Heights. That was my family's first food business called Shorty's Shish Kebab Greek food. And then by the time I was 14, you know what? I'm messing up all my dates. I started working at the Shorty's Shish Kebab when I was 11, but I think they got it before I was 11. They had it for like 7 years. But then when I was a freshman in high school, they got the diner around like 88, I guess, or something.
The reason I think I get excited is because I used to love diners. I still do, but I used to go all the time. When I lived in Philadelphia, we went to diner every single night with my friends for breakfast. And
Philly into Jersey, around there, that is... That's a specific kind of diner, too. Out here, they're more like these 50s themed kind of things.
No, they're
like
their own thing. They're not emulating a 50s diner. They are what they are.
It's more immigrant-y where we're from.
And I ate hot roast beef sandwiches for 15 years. I could not stop eating them. That's all I wanted to do was go to a diner and eat hot roast beef sandwiches. So I would imagine, like, maybe it's immature of me to think this way, but like if I was your parents or my parents, I would just be there all the time. The whole staff would be like, there he is eating his fucking hot roast beef.
Yeah, I remember when I didn't want to work there. I wanted to work like in the mall or whatever, but my parents were like, no, you got to work at the diner and, you know, you'll get good tips and you get to eat for free. But, you know, you're a kid. You want to go get your own job and have some ownership of it, but I didn't have a choice. So I had to work there. So I would just eat whatever. I'd just then eat like crazy when I had a break. And we had Belgian waffles on the menu. I remember this is like a stupid teenage thing to do. So I got a Belgian waffle. I was a waiter or a busboy, depending on the night. And the rest of all the waitresses were divorced, middle-aged women. Pretty much every single one was like an older woman who was divorced for whatever reason.
You fucked that shit?
Oh, man. Top to bottom, like every single... That's a phrase, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I fucked her top
to
bottom.
The whole person.
Really, top to bottom.
Usually we play music then, but I got lazy.
No, so my point is this. I remember one night I get a Belgian waffle, and I get the ice cream scoop. We had chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. So I put one scoop on, one flavor, one scoop of each flavor. And one of the ladies walked by, you know, middle-aged waitress lady. She's like, whoa, wow, like, whoa, you're hungry. So I'm just like, thinking, yeah, let's keep going. So I keep just putting ice cream on like an asshole. They made this pyramid of 10 scoops of ice cream, a Belgian waffle. And then people were like, that's a wasteful, you know, you're not going to eat all that kind of thing. And I remember sitting back there, I'm just like, I'm going to show them.
It's my family's goddamn diet.
Right, I can have as much as I want. I may hate it here, but look what I can eat. And I just ate the whole fucking thing. It's, I think, one of the only times in my life I may have thrown up or came extreme. I think I did throw up from eating too much. Have any of you? Yeah, once or twice in my life.
When I worked two times.
You have to.
Two times when I worked at Dairy Queen, I always thought malted shakes were good, but imagine if you could put the right amount of malt. Because the malt I would get, I thought I would really malt it up. You know, like when you get a malt, it's basically a milk steak and there's malt powder. You put one scoop in. That's what we were told to put in. Did I say it wrong?
You said milk steak.
Milk steak? Sure.
That's a way to describe a cow.
Yeah. Hey, look at them milkshakes out there. I tell you. What are you talking about? The milkshakes. That's what you call them. They're fucking beautiful, them milkshakes. I'll tell you what. We call them by what they give you. I'll tell you. Milkshakes. Thank you. Because I would hear that later and people would go, he said milkshakes. They couldn't get over it. And you know what? I don't need you to listen to the show. I'll clear house. I might not let anybody listen to this show. For all you know, I'm going to start. I have every right. If I want to start. By the way, to the people that have been sweet. Come here. You know I love you. But any more negative comments, I will fucking do the show with no microphones. I'll start doing it here for nobody. We'll have a good time.
The first podcast with no microphones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll prove it. Don't get me fucking agitated, people. Find these people that write the shit that gets me going and fucking seltzer water their house and pepper spray them. Anyway, back to hold on. We're wrapping it up. What were we just talking about? Please.
Milkshakes.
Oh, so the milkshakes. So I put five things of malt. I thought if one tasted good, that's all we were allowed to put in. Maybe I started with three and then five, like 2 weeks later, I threw up.
Wow.
I threw up. And also, actually, I have three throw up stories. Maybe this says a lot about my eating habits. The next time I threw up was when I thought, whenever I ate a salad, like, you know what happened when I got my license? I started to do this because I could go places without my parents telling me, don't do that.
Right.
So, like, I always thought salad was good, but when this onion hit the dressing, that was the best.
Mm.
Like, when I got a piece of onion with dressing. Yeah, because it was a piece. It was in proportion. I thought, what the fuck am I fucking shitting around here for? Let's chop up two onions and put salad dressing on them.
Oh, God.
I was like, I don't know how old I was. I was probably 17. I cut up two onions, sliced them nice and thin. Oh, I ate them with salad dressing. It was so fucking good until the second I put the last piece in my mouth, I started getting sick. And the first time that I threw up eating, this is how we're going to end. This is true, but
I'm guessing it was something that you liked in a certain amount.
It's a little bit. yes and no. Yes and no. The first time was I didn't know. No one told me when you smoke pot, you'll get hungry. I didn't smoke till later in life. I didn't smoke in high school. All my friends did, and I didn't even drink then. I started much later, and then I went for a long time. And first time I smoked, I was at my friend Kevin and Gwen. That was their name. I still know Kevin. He's married now to somebody else. But anyway, Kevin Sousa. And we were at his house, and we smoked pot. And let me tell you something. It was the first time I smoked, it didn't do anything. This time was probably like the third. It was everything you would want pot to be. Like, it still happens to me now sometimes, and it's great. But that was like, oh, they had a little kitten, and I was made pretending it was a lion. And I said, what if I was like, had a lion act, but my lion died, and I didn't know what to do. So I took a kitten, and then I had people hold magnifying glasses around the stage. And that way the audience would see that it was a lion. But really, I knew what it was behind the magnifying glass, and I would open up its mouth. And I'm doing this to the kitten, and I'm going, I will stick my head in this vicious lion's mouth. They play pre-recorded. And I would stick my nose in the cat's mouth. Unbelievable! We were dying laughing. I mean, we were like, oh, my God, I'm going to fucking punch myself to death. They went to bed. I couldn't stop. I ate macaroni and cheese. I ate a chicken they had in there. I made I made pudding. I'm not even kidding. I made pudding and put it hot pudding on ice cream because I didn't want to wait for it to dry. And it was good. Then I ate Pop-Tarts. Then I put ice cream on Pop-Tarts. I put the ice cream in the microwave, softened it up so it would spread on like with a spoon. Then I put the other. Then I thought if I toasted it, I made another two Pop-Tarts, put ice cream. I wouldn't stop. One point I remember going, I'm punching my, taking my finger to my stomach and I'm going, oh my God. Like I, there's no resistance. My stomach was, I'm not exaggerating. Like if you took my stomach now and pushed as hard as you could push to make your stomach like that, that's how it was. And I had no control. I couldn't release.
Just shit would come out if you just pushed your stomach.
Yeah, it'd have to go somewhere, right? You just, you could push a shit, brink. So anyway, they woke up in the morning and Kevin goes, walks out of the room and then Gwen comes out and they both look at me and they go, what the fuck happened to you? I go, oh, I threw up, thinking I don't realize how bad it is on my face. It is, you know, blood every, you know, like when the, your veins all, there's blood all came to my face. You know what I mean? So my face was, oh, black and blue. My face was black and blue because of the heaving.
Oh, my God.
And I know when people are hearing this story, partly laughing and partly, I think you can enjoy this story if you know. I haven't, it's been probably 30, no, it's probably been, let me give the real number. Probably been, well, the Krispy Kreme story was 10 years ago. But those other two stories were 20 years ago. So I think I can prove by this point I don't have a pattern with this happening if the stories are that far away.
By decades. So you got
decades. Yeah, I think that 10 years ago one and the other two 20 years ago. I think I'm safe to go, okay, he obviously just had a problem for a while. But it wasn't a problem. I just learned that, you know, you can't – you have moderation. You know, there's a reason not to eat two onions with salad dressing on them. And then I just – you know, I threw up and I was like, oh, my God. Salad dressing is a big thing at my family. I come from a family that if the salad comes to the table and it's not covered in ranch dressing, like a fucking, like just dripping all over, can I get more ranch? There's a piece of lettuce that's, I might have to eat without thick Russian dressing on it. Anyway, that's all I got.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed and catch up on your reading by listening.
Dimitri, you've heard of Audible.com, right?
Yeah, because especially because their name, it makes you listen.
Thank you. Okay, isolate that and make that a sponsor of the show. Here's Dimitri Martin for Audible.com. We fix your voice. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Thank you, Dimitri. That was so much fun. Like, that was...
Thanks for having me.
That was fun. That was fun conversation. I really enjoyed myself.
Me too.
Michael, thank you very much. Mikey, thanks for taking pictures all night. Andrew Furtado, you know what? Having you here, you have a happy face, and it is pleasant, and it puts me in a good mood. And Blake Wexler said that too, didn't you? Andrew has a very a good energy about him, and I hope you would quit school so you could work on this show more.
I'm done.
So, oh, you are?
Yeah.
There's a problem. We'll talk about it off the air. Katie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This was fun. This was one of my favorite. This was just a fun ride, a fun conversation. Why over talk about it? That's that guy. I got to be killing the guy that said, stop talking about your podcast on your podcast. I got to fucking do what I want. I'm a bully now. And Blake, look, you went a little crazy on Mike, but I think you need to get some counseling. We talked off the air and it was good. He you know, and Chris, thank you very much. So we played everything. And so, hey, you know what? I want a Sharpie. I just think it's that time of year. When I think of Christmas, I think of Sharpie. And because I just remember my mom, every Christmas, she would have her Sharpie pen. I remember the first time I saw a Sharpie calligraphy pen. I don't know why. It was always like, I remember it was fun to write with it. So I would like write the Christmas cards and put the addresses on. So I even smell a Sharpie to this day. It sort of makes me think of Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to tell that little Sharpie story because, and they're not, by the way, some people might think, are they a sponsor of the show? Or they, no. I don't know. You know, they're not a sponsor of the show. It's just I'm just talking about Christmas. I basically talking about America. So do you have a Sharpie story?
No, it's funny. I do. When I was growing up, my mom would also use Sharpies to like write our Christmas cards. So it was like big letters with our names on the gifts and everything. And I remember when I was like 12, I wanted I want a skateboard, and I'd asked for it a few times, but they said it was too dangerous. And then there was a gift under the tree, and it was, I just remember like the big black letters of my name on it, and it was like this nice rectangle, and I opened it up and it was just Sharpies inside. It was like 50 Sharpie pens in the shape of a skateboard.
That is so nice.
That's a good memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, what I love about Sharpies, it's like a smoothie. It's like the smoothie of pens because you get to say a fun word. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
It's not a smootho or a sharp bow or a sharp pod or something. It's like
sharp.
It's a sharpie.
It's a sharpie.
Yeah, it's not a sharpie because that's a dog. They couldn't. That was taken, you know. So it's sharpie. But yeah, my first memory of a sharpie would probably be I went gray really young, like as a kid. But we had a sharpie, and I, you know, luckily I have dark hair, so I would take that sharpie to my hair, and I would color in any of those. Those grays, and I looked like a regular kid. You know what I mean.
So when you see a Sharpie pen, you when I hear that, and it's gonna, I don't want to cry, but you're a kid. You don't got the money, or you're embarrassed maybe to go tell someone.
I can't get Grecian formula. Ironically, I'm Greek. Can't do that. Yeah.
And you're a little embarrassed. You're a young kid, and all you remember, Sharpie basically gave you a youth without being teased.
Absolutely. I mean, I smell Sharpie, and what I smell is like
happiness,
youth recaptured.
Well, thank you. Well, I want to thank everyone for being on the show. I want to thank Black Horse Motors for letting... You know what? The other day when I was up here, I hope the owner hears this. I started to not take it for granted, because when he first said I could use this space, I was like, holy shit. Like, thank you so much. Like, I want to do it in a fun space. But today I realized, I'm like, God damn it. I fantasize if he came to me and goes, hey, dude, you got bad news. You can't do it up there anymore. I'd be like, fuck, because I love this space. So can't you come down here at least buy something? Throw a dollar into the door. Look at this guy walking by. Hey, I'm going to buy a car. All right. So I was just, it was my way of thanking him. I don't expect you to come down here. You don't have to come down here. All right. That's a weird way to end the show. This was fun. Any last words? Mikey, thanks for stopping by. Andrew, Katie, Blake Wexler, thank you. You got a little angry today, and that's all right. And Chris, thank you. And we're done. Dimitri, as always, I give our guests the final... whatever you think's appropriate. If it's 10 seconds, that's great. If it's 1 second, it's great. And then after that, we throw to music. Right when you're done talking, music will play.
And that's me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, be good to each other. But not too good, because that's kind of weird.
Nerdist.com